Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory for today and all you will do in our midst. As we go into your word, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I strip myself of every confidence that I might have, my own knowledge, ability to share, or in preparing for this message today. I ask that by your mercy and grace, you use these things and you multiply it, like you multiply 5 loaves and 2 fish, that everyone will have something to go with today in the name of Jesus Christ. I duck under the covering of spiritual parents, and the same grace upon them will rest upon me. To help me to teach today, to preach and to minister effectively as an oracle of God. As word goes forth, let it bring light and understanding to our minds. Cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be enlightened with revelation knowledge of the word as it goes forth, and our emotions to be controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me to redeem the time, not to say things that are necessary. As the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in clarity and simplicity. Lord, let it flow like streams of living water, bringing refreshing to our souls today. I help me also to redeem the time, not to say things that are necessary. I lean on you, Holy Spirit, for help. My God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for what you will do in our midst today. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Like I said earlier on, thank God for the privilege to share his word. The title of my message today is Perfecting the Faith of God. Let's say it together. Perfecting the faith of God. You see, I initially started with perfecting faith. But you see, by seeing as I was coming, God changed the title, perfecting. That means it's a process. We are not there yet. None of us is there yet. But God expects us with time to perfect the faith of God. Just like Pastor taught, to perfecting the love of God. So we must all perfect the faith of God. Let's say together, perfecting the faith of God. You know, genesis of this message, let me explain to you, was when Pastor Kunle taught the Bible study on Sunday. He quoted the scripture from the book of James chapter 1, put in the Message Bible verse 2. James chapter 1 verse 2 in the Message Bible. He quoted that scripture, and before I came on to share that day, that thing struck my heart. So when I got home, the Lord brought that scripture back to my mind. So as I meditated on the scripture, I was praying, and it so happened that the Bible study, Bible reading for that day was taken from the book of James. So let's see. James chapter 1, verse 2, read in Message Bible. Say, consider it a sheer gift, friends. So let me take it. Consider a sheer gift, friends. When tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Say, tests and challenges will come at me from all sides. It's not a negative confession. This is what the Bible says, that consider the sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Next verse. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and showed its true colors. You see, when he quoted that scripture, I never saw it from Message Bible before. So God brought it back to my remembrance. He said, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. My brethren, there's going to come a time at different times in our lives that under pressure, I follow me, our faith life is going to be forced into the open. And I will not show whether we actually believe or we don't believe. You see, when they were going in the wilderness, I guess when they came out of Egypt, if you read the book of Hebrews, he kept on saying by faith, so and so this, by faith. They were operating under the covering of Moses. So by faith, Moses did this, by faith. All of them came out. It was the desire of God for all of them to come out. And I dare say, if you read that story itself, where nobody starts with God's perfect faith, nobody starts. Even Moses, you know, when God told him, I said, go and speak to them, he said, I can't go. He said, what would I say? I can't talk. So nobody starts. That's where we all start from. I follow him. But after a period of time, when they got into the wilderness, God expected that by reason of time, they should have grown. But unfortunately, only 2 people of that older generation had grown in faith. But even Joshua and Caleb. But if you look at it properly, when God was talking, there was a time also that Joshua and Caleb were part of that old company. Because when the Bible says that when they got the waters of Meribah, say they all mumbled. If Joshua and Caleb was not there, God would have said, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. So you see, but after a period of time, they did, the others didn't go. I know what happened. That would not be a portion in Jesus. That's why I said, perfecting the faith of God. Why? Because there will come a time under pressure that your faith life will be forced into the open and will show its true colors. He showed his true colors when they sent them to the promised land. After all they've enjoyed, they did not grow in faith. They did not grow in faith. They did not grow in trust in God. And you know what happened? God said, as far as I'm concerned, you guys, you are not going into the promised land. We will enter the promised land in Jesus' name. So what is faith? Faith is simply trust in the word of the invisible God, whose reality is not perceptible to the physical senses. That is the simple definition of faith. Now, this is where I got the message from. God wants our faith to become perfected like God's faith. Say amen. That is what God wants to do. That is what God wants to do. The Bible says that God has given down to every man a measure of faith. The Bible says, but you see, you must grow from the measure of faith to having the faith of God. We start up says that if just as if you have the faith as little as that of a mustard seed, you see, but a mustard seed is not supposed to remain a mustard seed. It's supposed to grow to a mighty tree. So let's open our Bible to go of James chapter 2 verse 21. Put it back in King James. James chapter 2 verse 21. Thank you, Holy Spirit. James chapter 2, verse 21. This is where God now started speaking to me about how your faith can progressively grow till it becomes perfect like God's faith. Praise the Lord. So, what does it say? Let's read that. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Let's read together. Read that for me. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had what? Offered Isaac his son upon the altar. If you were to read that alone, what you will assume is that the physical act is what will perfect your faith. No, that is the mistake that many of us make. Are you following me? So, he said, let's begin. Was not Abraham our father justified by works, plural, when he had offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Now, next verse. This is what God now spoke to me from. Next verse. He says, now, let's say, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. God wants us to see. Say, God wants us to see. God wants us to see. Here speaks about revelation knowledge. Not just to see, wants us to see the how. The how speaks about the wisdom behind something. Our pastor has taught us. Say, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works faith was made perfect. So, see two kinds of works there. He said, faith wrought by his works, and by works faith was made perfect. Perfecting the faith of God. Now let's put the definition behind it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, in the Amplified Bible. King James says, faith is the substance of things so for the evidence of things not seen. But the Amplified, let's see, what's it? Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. Let's read together. Being the proof of things we do not see, and a conviction of their reality. Let's together. Faith, perceiving as real fact, what is not revealed to the senses. So that faith of what is not revealed to the senses must grow progressively till it becomes the faith of God. So your normal faith now becomes like faith of God. So when you say you are operating like gifts of spirit in operation, and you find the gift of faith in operation, things that you will not normally be able to do with your natural faith, the gifts of faith will come to manifestation and bring it to manifestation. So God wants us to grow, and it's a process. That's why I said the title of message is perfecting the faith of God. Praise the Lord. And God wants us to see the how. Say, want to see the how. Praise the Lord. I mentioned earlier on, let's open about Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. I mentioned it earlier. Let's read together. What does it say? Say, for I say, through the grace of God given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. When you get born again, God gives every Christian a measure of faith. That's why Jesus Christ said, if your faith is like the mustard is very, extremely tiny. I've seen it before. Very tiny. In fact, you have to squint at times to see it. Praise the Lord. So, God does not want that faith to remain as a mustard seed. That faith must grow. That's why there was a time in the disciples' lives, the apostles, you know, when he was talking about forgiveness, he said that somebody does this to you, you forgive the person seven times seven. The next question that came out of their mouths, Lord, please increase our faith. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. Because there are some things that if you don't have faith for, you will not be able to go through it. Praise the Lord. Are we there? It says, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. That means faith can increase and faith can also decrease. Praise the Lord. Are you following? So, and also let's open to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15. The apostle Paul was talking to his disciples in Guinea. He said, not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope, say, having hope, that when your faith is increased, that we also shall be enlarged by you according to rule abundantly. So God wants our faith to increase or to grow. Praise the Lord. It's very important. And like I said earlier on, our faith must come to that place that it becomes the faith of God. Mark 11, chapter 22, Jesus Christ himself said it. That is where we are going to. Why? Because you see, the temptations and trials that are coming against individuals and the world today is going to require the faith of God to overcome them. And Jesus answering said unto them, have what? The faith. You see, the original Greek did not say have faith in God. The original Greek literally says have the faith of God. This one says later on, because people, it's difficult when they were writing it. What if, can you have the faith of God? So they say have faith in God. No, when what Jesus Christ said in the literal Greek, you know what it translates is have the faith of God, that the exact faith that God has. Because when you have that faith that can speak to mountains and things like that, and they will occur. Praise the Lord. Very important. So, like I mentioned, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, talks about the gift of faith. That is, how will you know? When your ordinary faith now starts working as like a gift of faith. When Jesus Christ, when he speaks in those days, he won't say, thus saith the Lord. He will just say it. And once he said it, it will come to pass. Praise the Lord. And how do we attain unto this? If you go back to James chapter 3 that we quoted earlier on, it says that faith is made perfect by works. And we have two kinds of works that the Bible has built unto us. Spiritual works of faith. Let's say together, spiritual works of faith. That's what the Bible calls the works of faith with power. Then you also have, work of faith with power, and then physical works of faith. Those two things are what we need to perfect the faith of God in our lives. Spiritual works of faith with power and physical works, which is corresponding physical actions as led by the Spirit. You see, many of us would like to do the physical works. Like we saw earlier on, when we read the story of Abraham, we said, okay, he took his son, and when he took his son, he was going to sacrifice. That was a physical thing that God told him to do. But before he could get to that stage, he had been practicing the spiritual works of faith when God changed his name, and he began to say, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. It's very, very important. Are you following me? So we'll see as we continue. Let's look at Abraham, Romans chapter 4, verse 19. That is, you see, there must come a time in our Christian life that we no longer stagger at the promise of God. But if you look at Abraham, somebody that took in, when the wife said she should go into the maid, didn't he stagger? You see him say, to God, what that Eliezer shall be my son? And God said, no. So it's what I said, you must perfect the faith of God. It's the process. So God, wherever we are, wherever I am today, God is not criticizing us, but he's saying there's for us to move up. Like mommy said recently, said we must not be stagnant. We must not be stagnant. We must move and arise. Are you following me? Because the challenges that are coming, the assignments that God has for us, we need to perfect God's faith. Praise the Lord. Let's go down. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. But before that time, everybody, I don't have time to turn there. You know how he misbehaved. How he went into, Hagar. And they gave birth to Ishmael. God said, this one will not be your seed. But at this time, just man falls seven times. Say, God will take him up. Because after he completed his fall, he now got to his place. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. And when he was about 100 years old, neither yet see the deadness of Sarah's womb. Next verse. He staggered not at the promise of God. Through what? Unbelief. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So he came to a place in his life, which we must also come to, that we no longer stagger. We no longer shaking.
I for nothing is shaking you again. You will grow to a place whereby you believe God. That no matter what happens, you are able to do anything that God tells you. You have faith for anything. Are you following me? Verse, help me, Holy Spirit. 21. And be fully persuaded. That means initially we were not fully persuaded. And being fully persuaded that that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You see, when challenges come and God will say something, he will say, I will do this. When it seems like it's not going to occur, you say, maybe God didn't really mean it. You can imagine when David was being chased by Saul. After he was anointed, that he was going to be king. After he had killed the lion, the bear, and Goliath, he got to a stage in his life when it looked like nothing was going to happen again. Then he said, one day, maybe Saul will just kill me. He staggered at the promise of God. It looked very impossible. When I went to the scriptures, look at the story of Moses. Even Moses, after he was a supper in Numbers, can put it there. When the people were complaining and murmuring and that he wanted to eat meat and blah, 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 blah. Please put it there. Just came to my mind. And what happened? He went to God. He said, God, why did you... Am I the one that gave back to all these people? Why don't you just kill me? That's Moses. He said, just kill me. There are times in our lives when we are weak. We must not deny it. So you know what God said? God said, okay, no problem. I think it's in Numbers. Let me find it. He said, don't worry, they want meat, Abby. By this time tomorrow, I'll give them meat. That's okay. Go back. Just a minute. I want us to read. He said, just kill me. God, he said, look, they have come again. No? They want meat now. To him, as far as he was concerned, it was impossible. Please put it back there, please. He said, as far as he was concerned, he said, look, they want to kill me. They are asking for the impossible. In the wilderness, there was no river to fish, nothing. So he said, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurs of the children of Israel. Which they murmur against me? Next verse. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. There is that place, because of time, let me find it and put it there. When Moses told God, and God told Moses, he said, even if I should kill all the fish in the sea, will it be enough for these people? Ah, please let me find this very important. And God now said something. He said, Numbers 11, 15. 12. Numbers 11, 12. 12. Yes. He said, have I conceived all these people? That's the old Moses. So after he has used the rod to depart the sea and done mighty works in Egypt. He said, have I begotten them that thou should say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing mother bred the suckling child into the land which thou swearest unto their fathers. Next verse. When shall I have flesh to give all unto all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. Next verse. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because it is too heavy for me. Verse 15. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of thy hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. Can you imagine? That is, you see, we need to understand that it was Paul that said, he said, I now live by the faith of the Son of God. You see, there is a limit to which your gra can get to. You have now stepped back for God to come on the scene. You see, at this time, you see, at the back of Moses, he still thought of probably, I'm grown doing it. So God now allowed him, like we said, say your real faith life will be tested. Let me now see what you are going to do. So he said, God, I've reached the end though, so just kill me. There's nothing I can do. Where are we going to get flesh for over 6 million people? Next verse. I'll just go straight to where God answered him back. Okay. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders. Okay, skip that place. That's where God gave them the anointing. Said, I will anoint it. Go straight to that place where God now said, by this time tomorrow, I'll give them flesh, not for 2 days, not for 3 days, not for 4 days. 18. Thank you, sir. And God now, after I told him that, okay, this burden is too heavy for you, I will take up the spirit upon you and I will put upon 70 so they can help you, so I won't die. I said, God, I don't want to kill you.
but I want to help you solve your problem.
And I said, and say that unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh, for you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and you shall eat. Next verse. You shall not eat one day. Say, you shall not eat one day. 6 million people. Or more than 6 million people. You shall not eat 2 days. That's God talking. No, 5 days. Neither 10 days. No, 20 days. Next verse. But even a whole month. Say a whole month. Until it come out of your nostrils and it be loathsome unto you, because what you have despised the Lord, which is among you. And I wept before him, saying, where came we forth out of Egypt? Next verse. See what Moses said. This is the answer. This is the man of faith. I said, by faith, Moses did. He said, and Moses said, God, the people among whom I am are 600,000 foot soldiers. You know, have you seen soldiers how they eat before? When they pack the food. So he said, look, you understand what he's saying, God. 600 foot soldiers, footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Next verse. Shall the flocks of the earth be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? Next verse. And the Lord said, say, and the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short, that thou shalt see now whether my wife shall come, what shall come to pass unto thee or not. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, they said, can God furnish food in the wilderness? Said they limited the only one of them. They said, can he furnish food? Brethren, you see, the one thing I was mentioning, God will never say what he cannot do. Believe me. If there is something that God cannot do, he will not say it. He has the ability, he has the power to do whatever he has to do. The Bible says that there is no word from God shall be without power. Praise the Lord. So let's continue. We look at Abraham, look at Moses. And I, in preparing, I divided into two areas in which we need to perfect our faith. What are these two areas? First of all, the promises of this life. Say, the promises of this life. We need to grow. You see, if you have not been able to believe God, are you following me, for 10 naira, how can you believe God for 10 million? It's not possible. It's not possible. That's why you have to grow. So the promises of this life, that is, we are talking about material and physical promises. Praise the Lord. And that includes provision. You must come to that place. Like Paul, he said, my God shall, say shall, not maybe, supply all your need. There was a time in his life that I said, in fastings often, in hunger, nothing to eat. But there came a time in his life, he said, my God shall supply all without exception. As long as it is a need, God will bring it to pass. He got to that place. Praise the Lord. Then deliverance. Like Paul again. The same Paul that was shouting, who shall deliver me from this body of death? The same Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. Let's see what he said. After they had grown spiritually. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. Let's see. And the Lord, shall what? Shall is like, you are sure. Cock sure. Shall deliver from every work. I will preserve you unto his heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That is, you got to that place of absolute trust in God's word and in this integrity. Same thing for healing. You grow in faith gradually until you now come to a place that anytime Satan attacks, you can push that back that attack. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So the second thing, we are talking about the promise of this lifetime, is the promise of his coming in us in perfection and fullness. These two things must happen on this side of the earth. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, what does he say? John was saying, you say, I know. It's not just something that was preached to him. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know, say we know, that when it shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as it, not maybe. We know. You come to a place of knowing. That's when you actually enter into rest. Like no matter what the storm, like Lord Jesus Christ, he just slept. Like Papara preached yesterday, there were 3 men in a storm. Jonah failed totally. Paul, all the material possessions were destroyed. But the master, they lost nothing. You can see those three categories of growth. That's where we're going to. So that is for that. That's why the end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. But you have to quietly be. That's the promise of this life. Then I put it under the promise of this life, because at this time we are in, it is very important. Because this promise of the perfection and fullness of Christ is what is ultimately going to help us to subdue the nations. Yes. How about Psalm 2 says, I've set my kings upon my holy hill of Zion. Says, ask of me. He's talking to kings here, not children. For the hidden, for them, and the uttermost part for their possession, to sanctify unto. That's what the Bible says. Jesus Christ said, if you have not removed the mote in your eye, how can you remove the beam in somebody else's eye? It's not possible. We're going to see as we continue. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. That's the promise of this lifetime. That is our destiny. Why did I bring it back again? Because that is the destiny of the man child that is caught up. He said his destiny is to rule the nations with a rod of iron. But see, before you can be caught up, I follow you, you must overcome everything that is constituting to gravitational pull that is pulling you down, which is the same nature. You know, gravity, law of lift says, so law of gravity, anything that goes up must come down. So you see, for many years, the body of Christ has been just where we are. Why? Because law of gravity. That's why I said love is sin and death. But you see, once you overcome that, Father, what we do when we're praying and we're walking in the spirit, then you go to them, you find that you go, then you come back, like you jump. But you must come to a place where every gravitational pull has been removed, which is the same nature. Then you're going to be caught up. So Satan has no hold. He can't pull back the man child again. Once the man child is caught up, the Bible says, it didn't say it came down again. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So that's where we're going to. That is why you see it, the promise of this. Provision, natural things, fine, healing and health. Then the promise of the perfection of the love of God, becoming like Him. And then that is what will now make us rule the nations with the rod of iron. That is the process. And then the last promise I have here, the second, I said there are two physical promises in this lifetime. The other ones are in the life to come. The promise concerning the orders of the resurrection. You see, Paul, at the end of his life, open to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. God was talking to me. It wasn't, you know, when we, let me give you an, I'll explain. Are we there? Let me read and I'll explain as God explained to me. Henceforth, you know, earlier I said, I fought a good fight. I finished my, I run the race. I kept the faith. He now said, because I said, henceforth, okay, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Next verse. Say henceforth. There is laid out for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them, all that love is appearing. So he said, it's not only for me, but it's for everybody that love is appearing. But how can this man speak like this? And say categorically that it's not pride. When I was speaking about it, the Lord told me. He said, is it pride if I come and ask you that, are you born again? Are you born again? Don't you know you are born again? So if someone says, are you born again? Say, yes, I'm born again. So the man spoke, he was sure. For something I had not seen. He had grown to such a place that he said, look, come, there is a crown waiting for me. He's not believing for it. He knows. Same thing with Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody had ever died and gone to hell before and come back. I'm not talking about dying, I mean raised from the dead. Yes. People are raised from the dead in the Old Testament. Abraham's before. But nobody had ever died. But he will say, in the third day, I shall be resurrected. Some that never be promised of. Some that is in future. But you can go to that place of faith and trust in God, that you spend so much time with God, that you can declare it ahead of time. Same thing with Joseph. Joseph grew and he said, look, don't leave my bones in Egypt. He said, because God will visit you. How did he get there? How did he get there? You know what? I told you the genesis of this message. It was that scripture that Pastor Kule preached from Message Bible in the book of James. He said, pressures will come and your rich, free faith life will come out to see its true colors. I got home. I was feeling good with myself. Trying to say, oh God, thank you for mercies. I'm being honest. Then I started to read my Bible. Then God now spoke to me. He said, you are not serious. You see, we need to be careful. We say, let me put it in a nice way, you can receive it. You need to be more serious. I think that is more palatable. I said, okay, Lord, what are you saying? He said, You can quote scripture. What the Bible says is this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16. He now said, go and look at the life of Stephen in the Bible. In the book of Acts chapter 7, there are 60 verses there. 54 were what Timothy, God told me, he said, he's just a deacon. That he stood before the Sanhedrin and he spoke distinctly. Brother, there was no Bible in those days though. All they had was the Torah and the prophets. You go to the synagogue, whatever you hear, is that what you will cram? Then you will go away. God said, go and look at Stephen. So there was no Bible. He was not a pastor. He was a deacon. But he stood before the Sanhedrin. We don't have time to stand there. Go and check. There are 60 verses in Acts chapter 7. They introduced this with first sacrifice. Said, and then Stephen began to speak. They started expounding the scriptures. Lie away. He wasn't carrying his Bible. He said, let me check. He was under pressure. They were going to stone him. But he spoke expressly. Up till about verse 54 or so, or 55 or 56. The last verse, he said, they rose up and then they stoned him. And then he looked up and he said, I can see Jesus Christ. That's where we are going to. Why? The Bible says that Stephen, a man full of faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That means he spent time in the word. That the word had become part of him. So they're not saying that, Stephen, quote John chapter 3 verse 16. And they say, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And all comes down from and void. He knew exactly the scriptures. Bible says, study to show yourself, not to man. I can stand there today and share him and say, oh, thank God for this brother's life. Nonsense and rubbish before God. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Because it is God that will allow the exams to come. He says that, listen, he said, that was said, count it all joy. When you fall in diverse temptations, but God is going to allow. He said that God will not allow you to be tempted above what you be. What that means is that God is going to, at every point in time, he's going to allow that test to come. Not because he does not like you, but he's going to allow it to come. That's how you know your faith will grow. God was telling me, I'm not speaking, I'm going to go back to him. Was talking about David. After he was anointed, listen to this. He killed the lion and he killed the bear and he killed Goliath. That was the progression. Just guys who grew. He raised the Jairus' daughter. After that, he raised the widow of Nain's daughter. And the most difficult one was Lazarus. You can see that growth process there. He grew. And he only comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So each time, can you imagine the master coming? And then he beats the widow of Nain. And he can't do anything. And all he can do is, sorry, man. All I have to, you know. And that's not even. And then he gives the woman money and goes away. But he had grown to such a place in God, under God, that as the temptation came, he knew that God allowed it, and there's a way of escape. So he raised that boy up. When they said, go and bring your friend Lazarus is dead. Come and pray. Come on. He waited. The faith level had not risen enough. So he prayed. We're going to see, because it takes prayer for your faith level to grow. That's why he told Peter. He said, I prayed for you so that your faith will not fail. That means if you don't pray enough, your faith level will come down. Let's keep on going. Let's go back. I said, I've talked about Joseph. I've talked about Lord Jesus Christ. I follow him. Let's look at why. Why is this message important? It's not a long message. I said, our faith will be tested. Say, our faith will be tested. It's nothing to, when you have tests, don't think about the trial of Job. No. Look at it from the point of view of, if you are a natural father, you send your child to school. If he does not pass that exam, he's going to repeat the class. If he keeps on repeating, they're going to send him away if he's university. So the job of a father is for exam to come and for the child to pass. But to say that, don't worry, my son, no exam will come, is a lie. It will come. It's just that they will not set the exam of a Form 5 student for a Form 1 student. It will not. But they will set the exam of a Form 1 student for a Form 1 student. So the Form 1 student does not go for lectures. He will bank that exam. Like we say, we will not bank exam. Just say, put it back in James chapter 1 verse 2 just to recap before we move on. James, in the Message Bible 2. James chapter 1 verse 2. Say, consider. He said, consider it a sheer gift, friends. when tests and challenges come at you from all sides, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced out. Oh my daddy. It will come out and it will show its true colors. So if you've not been growing, like God was telling me, you better get your act together. You know what he told me? Types and shadows. He said, you can be in ministry, brother, and you may not be growing as you should grow. David, he killed the lion, he killed the bear, and he killed Goliath, but never killed his flesh. He killed him. Yeah. That is where your faith is possible to perfect, to kill that flesh. He used his own anointing, the first anointing, to kill the bear and to kill it. But look at Elijah. He used, instead of using this to protect the children, use anointing to send the bear to kill the children. One killed the bear so I can save the sheep. One sent the bear to kill the sheep. 42 children. What are you using your earnest for? He grew after some time. Same Elijah that did that. At the end of the day, when they came to arrest him, smite them with blindness. He said, give them food. What are you using your earnest for? Use it to perfect the love of God. We don't have to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. He said that you can put it there. He said your faith that is precious is going to be dry life with fire. You can put it there as we continue. First Peter chapter 1 verse 7. 1:7. It says, put it back in the verse before. I say if you skipped some places. Say that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and the glory of the Lord upon Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. So the second thing is that I said faith is going to be tested. Or let me put it this way. We are going to have exams at different levels. So everything you have been taught, perfection of the love of God, forgiveness, walking in the Spirit, you know, confession 4 times daily, all those things, let's take them serious. But there's going to come a time that God will, oh yeah, he's been practicing now. Say, okay, let's see what he will do with what he has been given. But I trust that God will help us. Will not disappoint God in Jesus' name. The second important is that it will take perfected faith to ask for what we will and shall be done unto us. The master said it. John chapter 15, verse 7. Let's read it. John 15, 7. For you to come to that place in your Christianity that you ask anything that God gives you, that means your will must have become one with the will of God. Your faith must have obtained the faith of God. See, if you abide in me, and my words abide, if you word abide, what does the word of God give? It gives faith. Faith comes by hearing. And you shall ask what you will, and shall be done unto you. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11:33 says, and through faith they obtain promises. Now, like I said, how are we going to attain unto this? It's not a long message. How? Which is the important thing. Is we know already now that God wants us to grow in our faith walk with him. Like Pastor has taught us, perfecting the love of God. Now, we are in that process. So, don't be under any form of guilt. We have to practice makes perfect. So, as a perfect dialogue, we also perfect the faith of God in our life. Praise the Lord. There's a scripture I skipped. The 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11, I believe. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. Okay, no, there's one. We're coming back to this one. There's one that says that your faith groweth exceedingly. I can't remember. If you just put it there. Paul was talking to Thessalonians Christians. He said that he is happy that they can hear their faith great exceedingly with the charity amongst them. Can you find it? Okay, no problem. So how is this going to happen? What? Is it there? Paul was talking. You see, this is the joy of a father. Say, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. As it is meant, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. And the charity, which is love, agape, of every one of you, all toward each other, abounded. That is why that prayer that mommy said we should be praying. Drink good morning. Say, pray for your wife. Pray. You say, Father, please make my love to increase and abound in present complete knowledge, judgment, not that I'm approved of things that excellent. I'm sincere in my heart, without offense. Oh God. So that prayer, that's what you have to be praying every day. So each time, your love will grow. It will grow towards God. Go towards leadership, go towards your wife, go towards people, till you come where nothing can offend you. Say, great peace up there with the Lord. Nothing can offend. Praise the Lord. So, how are we going to do this? Very, very simple. The work of faith, put it back in 1 Corinthians chapter
1:11. First Thessalonians chapter 1, put it back the verse before so I can read it so we can connect. He says, let's look at that. When he shall come to be glorified in his sins and to be admired in all them that believe, because what our testimony among those believed in that day. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wherefore also, we pray always for you that our God will count you worthy of his calling, which he mentioned in the previous verse, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Let's say again. And the work of faith with power. And the work of faith with power. Let's say it again. And the work of faith with power. That means it takes power to walk in faith. And power is given in measures. That word power there is dunamis. You go and check it. So what is the work of faith with power? I said there are two kinds of works that we must do. The works of faith with power and then physical works that will make us grow to have the faith of God. Number one, we must have revelation of God's word through meditation and praying the Pauline prayers from a heart filled with the life of God. We must have revelation knowledge of God's word with a heart full of life of God as we pray from the Pauline prayers. You see, because if you don't have, that is the power that gives birth to that faith. And it comes from meditation. When pastor will come and say, see him that is invisible. Why? Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ was talking, said, you shall have the light of life. So if you don't have sufficient life, you cannot have sufficient light. Because light is what gives rise to life, is what gives rise to light. So for you to see him, that is like Moses, Hebrews 11:27, said he endured as seeing him that is invisible. That is, the more life you have flowing in your soul, are following me, the more you see clearly. The lesser light you have, then it becomes to get dim and dim. That will not be a portion. So you can imagine what happened to John the Baptist. That he said, this is this. He said, the person that sent me said, unto whom the dove rests. That is the person. The same person, when the life and the light got dim, dimmer and dimmer, he said, are you the one to come? Or should we look for another? Is this to say, John the Baptist? No. Is this to, look, brother, if you don't keep on pumping life to that soul, like mama says, your eye be single. You know, that the thing can drop. When it drops like this, you find out that what you used to believe before, God forbid, you start wondering. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So, Hebrews chapter 11, I've quoted John chapter 8, verse 12. Let's read that scripture before we move on. So we need revelation knowledge from the word of God. And that comes through meditation and praying the Pauline prayers for the spirit of wisdom and revelation with a heart full of the life of God. That life of God is very, very important. And one of the things that God has done to our generation is to give us the knowledge of his exceeding great and precious promises. That by this you might be partakers of divine nature. You need the divine nature to exercise the work of faith with power. James chapter 8 verse 12. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have what? The light of life. So it's important that I will get the first thing. The second work of faith with power is the work of confession. That is when we say God's word with our mouths, with a heart full of the life of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13. 2 chapter 4 verse 13 says, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I also spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. That is different between if I stand there today and I was that day that Peter said, Master, can I come? If I said, come, Peter will have sunk. It's the same words, but different power. Master said, come. That come had enough power to uphold Peter. That's the difference. That's why your capacity must begin to grow. Capacity must begin to grow. So as I discover that sometimes oversight will say something, bah! You are still doing four faces. You have not even gotten the quarter of getting the answer. The spiritual capacity, what is coming out? But the death and life is the power of the tongue. So I follow me. Then I mentioned the exceeding great and precious promises. Then this third work of faith, the power has to do with prayer. I say prayer. We need to pray with all kinds of prayer, with a heart full of the life of God. From experience, look, we should have moved beyond level of doubting whether praying with all kinds of prayer And we should have left that level by now. Because the prayer he prayed in Gethsemane is what saved the day. And that's what I told Peter. He said, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. That means if you are not a man of prayer, your faith at one time will fail when a certain temptation comes. I heard E.W. Cohen quoted the scripture. He said, men ought always to pray and not to cave in. So for your faith to stand, it needs power to sustain it. Spiritual power backed by the life of God. As in Luke chapter 22, verse 32. Then the last thing we need to do is walking in love. Say, walking in love. You see, walking in love, you need the spiritual power to walk in love. Years ago, God told me something. He said, there are three levels of love walk. There are the 30-fold outer court. When we don't offend each other, you greet me, I greet you. You give me this, I give back to you. No problem. Then God moves you. That's when you pray in the understanding alone. Then God now moves to next level, 64. And I begin to take the showbread by the light of the candlesticks. You begin to eat the showbread. Are you following me? What that does is, we're not praying in tongues. You now move to another level. But the where we are going to is within the veil. And the Bible says the veil is the flesh. That's where we're going to. And it takes intercession, groanings to take you across the veil. Traveling in prayer. You see, if you don't move, if God forbid, we'll not stay at the outer court. At the outer court, I've seen people make decisions in life, and I'll be praying. God will say he made a mistake. And the person will do keep on doing the thing, and he will, so to speak, be okay, prosper. I've gone back to God and said, but God, you told me that it was a mistake that this person made. Say, just wait. You see, you can make mistakes like Peter. When they slapped Jesus Christ, bah, he brought out his sword and caught the other person. He ended the scripture, the Bible the other day. Said, ah, thank God he walked in love. Man, he just did the right thing. He cut off the ear of Marcus or whatever. But he missed God 100-fold. So you have to say, as I said, when they slap you, say, turn the other cheek. There are things that you can do that before men you'll be justified. But God will say, no. No. That is where sons are made. That is where sons are. I've been in places before that God will correct me and say, no, you know more than that. Leave them. God said, keep quiet. Leave them. And I'm looking like a fool. I said, but God said, leave them. I don't want to give anything. God said, just keep quiet. He said, when they beat him and did everything, he said, nothing. If you are there at that time, say, why didn't he do something? Just as love controlling him. That's when you go within the veil. And for you to enter the veil, what happens? The veil of the flesh must be rent from top to bottom, from your soul to your flesh. Pain. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord. Say, Lord, more man disturb me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. They stoned Paul, left him for dead. It was you and I, it was me. I will never go back there. He made a prayer, he took everything and went back to that place. That is walking in love. That love is going to take every man to the flesh, to the cross. It's going to take every one of us to the cross. He said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the Lamb, and they loved not their lives on death. So when things begin to happen to your circumstances, and you begin to react in the flesh, no problem. We take the exam again. Yes. I've been switched up. That I was crying. I was saying, Lord, what is going on for God's sake? How can this person say this to me? And God told me, he said, you are not dead yet. He said, dead men don't speak. I said, yes. Outwardly, people are telling you, ah, no. We echo Obama. That's enough. God said, no, son. Dead men don't speak. They don't talk. And then Jesus Christ told me, I shared it before. He said, what happened to me on the cross? He was talking to me. I was praying. I was crying. That's where sons are made, though. In the furnace of affliction. Like when you are in the fire, that the fourth man will appear. If you don't get there, he won't appear. You may live like the rest in Babylon. Chosen in fight, you mean, furnace of affliction. He said, what happened to me on the cross? Then he told me. He said, on the cross, when I was hanging there, he said, a soldier came and pierced me by this side. He said, did I shake? They wanted to test whether I was dead now physically. But spiritually the same. They wanted to test whether you are dead. So they came and said, go and check. Is he dead? So they used that sword to pierce him. If they pierce by side, if you're not, they say, yeah. That's what happens when we have not perfected the love of God. You'll be offended. Paul says, oh my God. Hebrews chapter 12. He said, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He said, be careful lest any root of bitterness spring forth and defile many. Outwardly, you are correct. People say, yeah, No, you have just failed. And it does not matter where you go. If you like, go and start a church. Go and do whatever you want to do. As far as God is concerned, you are already building your own. But he told me, and he quoted scripture, why I know it is God, was talking to me. And I said, yes, it's true. And he told me, he quoted this scripture for me. He said, I see that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. So not physical sword, only because of physical sword. But when you meet some brethren, and they talk you down. And I told me, he said, what happened? He said, go and look at it. He said, go and check. I opened my Bible. I checked it. He said, forthwith came blood and water. Put it there in the book of John. Not water and blood. It is blood first before water. Now told me, said, anytime those things happen, what you do is this. You forgive. You ask, use the blood. Then you ask for life. So anytime they pierce you, what should come out is blood first. Father, we confess our sins. Then if Jesus said, I have life, then water. Do you think God is going to give us the glory if you are not dead to the flesh? Then the same anointing, the double portion. Apostles used to deliver children. You bring a bear to kill them. But David, the same anointing on his head, he used to rescue the sheep. And sometimes you are my Yoruba. What am I, Mumora? Am I ready? It is well. It is well. Let's move on. We shouldn't be discouraged. I'm not there yet. But I've seen where we are going to. That when trials and tribulations comes and people are saying, you have to quit. I'm being personal a bit this evening. I can tell you many people have come to me and said to me, what are you doing there? You don't have children. Yes. 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 People that you will not believe, I mentioned their names. And they will say, why don't you try this house? I said, no, I bind that spirit. I will not. Different things. But we're going to do the same example. You're looking at me. I've just shared a few things. That when they come, you know, this is where God has planted me. This is the pathway. That through much tribulation, not some, we enter into the kingdom. That word much there, if you go and check into the Greek, it is binding. It is a compulsory course. You cannot go to university in those that will do jam without doing jam. You can't go. You know why? Because the difference is that you will enter at different times. If you're in Form 1, you can look at somebody in Form 5 is doing it all. But I start studying because you move to Form 2, Form 3, 4. You are going to face it. It's the same. They don't change the principle. They just change the. They say 1 plus 1 today. Or they say 1 plus 2. They can change it tomorrow. Are you following me? And say 2 plus 1. It's the same thing. God has not changed. Devil has not changed. So what do I say? Say, walking in the love of God. That the end of that is to enter within the veil. Where you not enter. That is where love is. That is where God is. God is love. That is where he's seated. Like Papa Raph said, when you not enter, I not enter after all you've gone through, like Joseph, the first thing the Satan would have been, now that you have authority, deal with them. And God will not talk, he'll be looking at you. Are you going to deal with them? Are you going to deal with them? Are you going to deal with them? Things have just come. God said one day, he said, it was the time I was in the situation. God said, why did you allow yourself to be defrauded? Keep quiet. Many times I've gone to God and I've said, God, this is not the right thing. There was time some things occurred in my circumstances. I said, God, and God spoke to me from a different scripture. He said, I discovered that when those things come and I walk in love, I get victory. Light just comes. When I get offended, the light goes. That's how I know. It didn't just go. But when I manage to walk in love, light will come.
God told me, he said, look, come. He said, somebody did some one time. It was very painful. I don't know exactly. I won't mention anything. And it was like, God, I'm older than this person. No respect, nothing. And I was weeping. I was crying on my knees because I'm just like everybody else. And God spoke to me. I said, oh, I was going to pray. I remember. I said, honey, we are going to pray. God said, when you pray, when you stand praying, forgive. So that means if I don't forgive, I said, God, I must forgive. I did it in faith. That moment, God spoke to me, said, measure the temple. That's how I got the message. He said, measure the temple. He said, he gave me a reed, like unto a rod. I said, measure the temple. He said, the cord that is outside, leave it. So God is going to measure your love walk. It must be, our growth process is to grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ before we can carry the anointing. So God to test you, last I said, temptations come from different sides. When you now overcome, then I'm going to stop. God will swear, like he did for Abraham. Put it there. As you close, walking in love. The book of Hebrews chapter 6. So after you have patiently endured, you obtain the promise. That's where your love walk comes in. That's what you set you at the right place, the right time, the right people, the right attitude, and the right action. Can't afford to be angry. He said, for men vary this way, and an oath for confirmation is the end of all strife. That is, in those days, if you swore, that's the end. You can't break it. He said, God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of salvation the immutability of his counsel, interposed by an oath. That is, God was saying, Abraham, that did not come until he laid his son on the altar. Then God swore that as far as I'm concerned, you perfected the faith in that regard. Then God swore, you can't make a mistake again. Willing more, but sure to the heir of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed by oath. That by two immutable things, which was brought for God to life, may have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hold itself, which entered within the veil. Without the foreigners enter, even Christ Jesus. That is what he's praying about. That he come into perfection of the love of God, come into perfection of the faith of God. So, brethren, I'm not there yet. I still fall many times quietly, but I've set my mind that God, whatever I will take, I'll keep on enduring. Mercy will see us through. Because we must carry that anointing. It's the desire of the Father to give us the kingdom. The last thing I'm going to mention, I've already stopped, I believe as well, going with him, but just mention it, is the one that most of us concentrate on. Physical works dictated by the Holy Spirit. You know, you hear a testimony that God, somebody said, God told him to do it, they need to go and do it. Doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. I've heard people say that you must give the first fruit. No, I'm coming. Well, they quote the widow of that woman. I said that Elisha said, give me, go and give me first. So Rick Fowler's greedy people on TV that you must give him first. He's not talking about the title. Go and read the story. He said, I have commanded the widow woman to feed you. That means God has told the widow woman before that somebody is coming. Yes. Can listen to me. Can somebody come to your house and leave your children at home? And says, Sister Remy, no, your children, whatever, or daddy. Say, mommy said I should carry the TV and bring it. If it's, will you say, okay, take it? That's how we behave in the body of Christ. Will you say, take it? If he's not sure, say, please let me go and contact daddy and find out. Maybe he forgot to tell me. But the body of Christ, somebody will come and say, go and bring everything you have. Then we'll put it on the floor. Then you don't get anything. Thieves, robbers, the Bible calls them. If you are leaving your house and want somebody to come and take some, you have told the child, listen, I'm sending somebody to come and carry the TV. So by the time he comes and he's talking to you, he's confirming what you have told him. He can only amplify and clarify it and say, okay, the key to where it is in social service, okay, that one we forgot to say, but I know. That's where the body of Christ today. They rest the scriptures. God told him that. He said, look, he said, I commanded that. She knew what was coming before. So he had the option. Or else, how would she have faith to give? Faith comes by hearing. So where is the faith for her to give, to receive? If God had not spoken to her before. Let's bow down to pray.
cunning craft, where the lying way to deceive. It's all about the body today. But trust that God will have mercy on us. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to God as we stand up to pray. Oh Lord, I hunger for more of you. Rise up within me. Let me know your truth. Oh Holy Spirit. Oh Holy Spirit, saturate my soul and let the life of God fill me now. Let your healing thank you. Father of life, draw me closer.
Lord, my heart.
Lord, my heart is set on you.
Let me run
the race of time. Give your life holding mine. And let the peace of God let me rest. Bible says that blessed are they that hunger for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Not just in our spirits, in our souls, in our bodies. But say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that you want me to grow in faith by the exercise of the works of faith with power, till my faith becomes perfect, having the faith of God. I also thank you because you have revealed on me today that through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom. I come to ask for fresh mercies and fresh grace under covering to practice the works of faith with power, in particular to perfect the love of God in my daily conduct until I attain unto the faith of God. In Jesus' name. Let's pray this prayer. Rabba Santa Rabakora, pray, brethren. Reprocusto Rama Santa Rabakofre, Toromus Santa Rabakofre, Toromoseca, Robrosa, Reprosu, Mabremasala Bakofren, Toromosakarabatufreme, Parabosola Bakofren, Toromosala Bakofren, Toromoseca, Robrosante, Robrosanta Rabakofren, Toromosala Bakofre, Masala Bakofre. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord.